You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We are going to talk about the Isaiah Thomas trade, or the Jordan Clarkson trade, or the Larry Nance Jr. trade, or the Cleveland Cavaliers first-round pick trade, the cap flexibility trade. We are going to talk about a trade deadline that was supposed to be pretty quiet for the Lakers and turned out not to be, and was definitely not quiet out there in Cleveland. As always, you can find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am Anthony Irwin, LA on Twitter. Harrison, we predicted that it would be a quiet day. I think we specifically said that Jordan Clarkson probably wasn't going to get moved. No.
I said he was the most likely Laker to get moved.
Okay, and now the other thing. Okay, the other thing that we said.
Although I also said that I didn't think much would happen. So, I mean, I was wrong and I was right.
Well, no, what I was going to say is I thought we played this pretty smart. The more predictions that you make on both sides of the coin, the more likely it is that you're right in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Basically, I'm a genius, but also an idiot. Let's only pay attention to the genius part.
I believe at one point on the show, I did mention a Jordan Clarkson for Isaiah Thomas trade.
Yeah, I think you did earlier. And I said, no, why would the Lakers want Isaiah Thomas? Well, the Lakers have Isaiah Thomas. They traded Clarkson and Nance to Cleveland, who Cleveland, I think, overhauled their entire roster. I think maybe the only player left is LeBron, other that was on the roster before the trade deadline. Don't quote me on that.
It was like that that scene from I forget which movie it is, and somebody's gonna laugh at me for forgetting. But it's that classic scene where the guy is on his way out of a party, right? And as he's on his way out, he flips out on everybody who's there at the party, and he says, you know, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you, you're cool, bleep you, I'm out, right? I feel like that's what Kobe Altman sat down in his office, looked at the roster, said, bleep Isaiah, bleep Derrick Rose, bleep Jay Crowder, LeBron, you're cool, bleep you, Channing Frye, I'm out, right?
And Dwayne Wade, you're kind of all right. We're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll make it look like, you know, we were going our mutual ways. But yes, Cleveland's in an interesting spot. Like, they are now easily the most interesting team in the league because they...
Yeah, I mean, they kind of already were, but now they are even more so.
For basketball because, reasons.
Just because their entire roster got overhauled. And, like, I actually, for what it's worth, I think Nance... Nance, I think, is going to look a lot better in Cleveland. And you and I, know, disagreed on this like earlier a couple shows ago about like would Nance look. I think Nance will look a lot better alongside a guy like LeBron. Mm-hmm. And I think Clarkson, we'll see if he can do what Cleveland was hoping Isaiah would do and what Cleveland was hoping Kyrie would do, which was kind of prop up those non-LeBron units. But what the big problem that the Cavs have is they have to have some playbook outside of LeBron go do things, because that's why their bench has been so terrible over the last several years. And we'll see if Clarkson can be the guy to fix that. For what it's worth, with the Lakers this year, he was pretty good in that role of like Clarkson go do something.
I think it's the rare win-win trade, right? On the face, you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, the Cavs traded Kyrie Irving for eventually Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, and they had to give up a first-round pick to get rid of the piece that they got back for Kyrie Irving. Now, they did get the Brooklyn pick, which they still have, and now cannot trade because they traded away their pick and because of the Stepien rule, thanks to their old owner, by the way, Ted Stepien.
it's a Cavaliers rule. So,
but they now cannot trade that Brooklyn pick, and And what I was going to say, it's a win-win because things obviously weren't working between Isaiah Thomas and everybody in that locker room and everybody on the court with him. Channing Frye is a pretty good player, and they'll miss his shooting, but he's basically salary
filler. That's actually, I think, a little bit of a misnomer from this trade that I want to address really quickly. Mm-hmm. Channing Frye has not really been a good shooter this year. He's shooting like 33% from three.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody tweeted at me, they're like, well, that's just the 2018 Cavs stink. And like, I guess we'll see. But for as far as the Lakers side of this trade goes, for on the court stuff, like obviously the bigger implications are the off the court, the flexibility, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But as far as like on the court basketball stuff, I think this trade might actually hurt the Lakers because maybe Channing Frye figures out how to shoot again with the Lakers, but maybe not. And he's like not a very good defender, and he's not as good of a defender as Larry Nance Jr.
He's one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, I think I saw Cran just tweet out that he was the worst pick and roll defender in the league. Yeah. But again, don't quote me on that. And then I think like Clarkson, for all of his faults, was like okay defensively this year. Isaiah Thomas,
the worst defensive player.
Yeah, calling him a traffic cone might be an insult to traffic cones because at least they provide some sort of theoretical impediment to scoring. The dribbler could trip over them or something.
There are going to be moments this year watching Isaiah Thomas play defense where we're going to say to ourselves, would we be better off with E.G. on Leon's chair out there?
Yeah.
And maybe be right.
I think so.
We do have, as Harrison alluded to, the actual real meaning or reason for this trade to get to, and we're going to do that here in a second. So you talked about the on-court stuff, and I would agree that I think the Lakers are a worse team right now than they were when we woke up this morning. I think that's objectively true.
Well, the thing that we do have to figure out is, like, does Isaiah Thomas, as he starts to recover from injury, and he's not playing alongside LeBron, where he's asked to be off the ball, like, all the time, does he rediscover a little bit in L.A.? And, like, being empowered to, like, have, like, a bigger role. Like, there's a chance that he does end up ultimately making the Lakers better. But if he's Cleveland Isaiah Thomas and what he's been in Cleveland so far this year, then the Lakers are a far, far worse team.
Yeah, I think he winds up being somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
We absolutely saw the best that we'll ever see from Isaiah Thomas from his time in Boston.
Yeah, I don't anticipate he's going to be that guy again. And maybe not ever, but definitely not this year. Maybe I'm going to jinx that into existence.
And the other thing, too, the other odd thing is that people keep on saying that Isaiah is going to continue to feel better as the season wears along. I don't necessarily, unless he's willing to take some time off and really get better, which he can do on a team that isn't heading towards a playoff and by extension title contending playoff. But right, it's kind of hard to get better, especially with a hip. As you play basketball, you know, it's not the kind of injury that you just get better all of a sudden at. So I don't necessarily agree that this year he's going to return to any kind of normalcy on the court. But the big thing is, what kind of role is he willing to accept? Right.
And yeah,
I think and we'll talk about that at the very end. We promised that we were going to talk about the actual reason that this trade was made was cap flexibility, and they picked up a draft pick, right? And the big question about this new front office was how they were going to handle really their first trade deadline. They had one last year, but the Lou Williams trade that they made reportedly was lined up for them and ready to go. And so this was their first true full trade deadline. And look, for all the criticism... Yeah, for all the criticism that I've heaped upon them for process and all of these things, today could not have gone better, realistically speaking.
Yeah, our pessimism about the basketball side of this trade. And again, the Cavaliers were getting outscored by 15.1 points per 100 possessions while Isaiah was on the floor. That is by far the worst rate among their rotation players. Like, that's really bad. And they were outscoring teams when he sat. But the basketball side of this, I mean, that ultimately doesn't matter as much for this season because the Lakers weren't going to make a playoff push with the guys that they had. So if they get a little worse, then like maybe that hurts them perception wise with free agents, but maybe it doesn't. We can't really say. And I think the other implications of this trade are really good. Like, the Lakers now can get up to, I think I saw, like, $69 million in cap space, which is really nice if they can get to that. And they also got a first-round pick for clearing off two guys that weren't in their long-term plans anyway.
And neither of those guys, by the way, were first-round picks. No, wait.
Yeah.
Nance was.
Well, Nance was 27th. But Nance was very late first round. We got an they got an equivalent first round pick back for Nance, mm-hmm. basically. And Clarkson is a guy that they were looking to move anyway. And neither of them were in their long-term plans. Like, Kuzma and Randall being, you know, like, alive, like, could push Nance out of their long-term plans. And Clarkson, just because of his contract, they've been trying to move for a while anyway. And so this is a coup for Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka to me.
Yes, absolutely, and that was the response for everybody on Twitter, right? Was that wait, the Lakers got a first round pick in all of this, and especially when the morning started with the Lakers are willing to attach Larry Nance Jr. to Jordan Clarkson to get rid of that contract. You thought, oh, okay, well, they weren't able to trade Jordan Clarkson by himself, so therefore they definitely weren't going to be able to get the kind of pick that they wanted to get back for him, right? But somehow, the Cavs blinked, and the Lakers walk away with a haul, a legitimate haul. The basketball stuff to me doesn't matter, right?
Yeah,
now.
I mean, for what it's worth, the pick, the Cavs range, like where the pick is going to be, like late 20s. That's where the Lakers just got Kuzma. It's where they just got Hart. It's where they just got Nance. Mm-hmm. And they just used him to move Clarkson's deal. So, mm-hmm. That, for this scouting department, and Magic and Pelinka talked about this, that motivated them more to go and get a pick is because of how much success this scouting department has had in that range.
And the other thing, too, that's worth pointing out here that others have talked about is that if the Lakers are legitimately, if they really want to get off of Lou Alding's contract, that first-round pick can be used in that manner as well. Now, I would prefer they don't. As we've seen today, the Lakers are the only team that got a first-round pick today. And while there were no major blockbuster deals, right, George Hill moved and Isaiah Thomas moved, obviously, but there weren't the names that got moved today didn't necessarily blow anybody away. But it was because teams weren't willing to give up a first-rounder for Tyreke Evans. Teams weren't willing to give up a first-rounder before the Clippers re-signed him for Lou Williams. Teams were hesitant.
Yeah, first-rounders are valuable.
Incredibly valuable. And again, it really says something about this front office. It's a great relief, I would say, that this front office was able to pull this kind of thing off because there have been questions. And the other thing that we've learned about these guys, too, is that maybe – just maybe they kind of have figured out how to use the media, right? How to say, well, you know what? We aren't getting the offers that we want for Randall, so he's not on the table. We aren't happy with the offers that we're getting for Clarkson, so we'll focus on 2019, right? And they figured out ways to spin things so that they can acquire the kind of pieces that they need to continue to put to really push this organization forward. And look, I'm not as high on Larry Nance Jr. as others are, but he's an NBA player. He's definitely an NBA player. Jordan Clarkson.
And he's going to look like more of one on a better team.
I think so. We'll see. I don't know because I think the Cavs are still at their best when LeBron is at the 4 and Kevin Love is at the 5. I don't know how that works if LeBron is at the 3, Love is at the 4, and Nance is at the 5, but whatever. What I'm saying is that at the end of the day, Nance is still definitely an NBA player. Jordan Clarkson is still definitely, while potentially overpaid compared to the deals that go out this upcoming summer, he is still definitely an NBA player. That said, the Lakers they needed to do something in order to really open up their options, and that's what this did, right? Not only does that move help open up their options? But as I wrote the other day for Lakers Outsiders, the new verbiage, the new tone that they were setting with leaks in the media and such, that opens up their options and makes them more dangerous, and it gives them more leverage. And that leverage, it turns out, they turned into the move that they made today, and I think they deserve a ton of credit for it.
Yeah, I think so too.
We are going to talk about some of what Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka had to say about this trade. They were Magic couldn't stand still. Did you notice that?
No. Yes, I did notice that. No, he could not stand still. Yes, I did notice that.
I found that funny that he does have that spark in him, right? That he just has to be moving at all times. And Pelinka didn't drop a mana from heaven story, but they did say some fairly enlightening things. There was a really funny moment that I found in there. And then on the backside of that conversation, we are going to talk about one concern about Isaiah Thomas and the fit here with the Lakers. And we're going to get to all of that here in a bit. So the press conference with Rob Pelinka and Magic was somehow announced very quietly, right? It was just kind of like this live stream. They basically went on Periscope and they answered questions from the media and they gave their opening statements and stuff. And the two things that really stuck out to me was, again, Magic talking about needing to take, you know, needing, as exciting as the Lakers are every so often or on most nights, they aren't in the Western Conference playoffs, and that's something that he really seems that's his goal. It seems to be his next. And the other thing was that they made no qualms about it. Lonzo Ball is the starting point guard, and that's how that's going to go. It doesn't matter that Isaiah Thomas averaged 29 points last year. It doesn't matter that Isaiah Thomas may not be happy with that decision, but Lonzo is still unquestionably the face of this franchise on the court. And that's, you know, for a team that just acquired somebody who has had problems in the past in the locker room, I thought it was really smart of them to just nip that in the bud right away.
Yeah, they got out right in front of that, and they just said, like, hey, that's not going to fly here. And, like, for what it's worth, it sounds like they're not planning to buy him out. They made it sound like Isaiah was happy in his conversations with them and that he was excited to join the Lakers, although they said they didn't really talk about role. And so I think, like, we'll see. And, like, there was actually, I thought, an interesting moment on the jump today that was, I think, the reason for yours and my, like, maybe a little bit of concern about how well this is going to fit. And, you know, where Rachel Nichols basically, she just said that Isaiah Thomas's agent was, you know, letting her know that he was not going to be coming off the bench. And so I want to throw to that clip really quick just so that you guys can hear it in context. And then Anthony and I will be right back to talk about it.
For the break, you were saying you think that IT might have to come off the bench in this new scenario. I want to read you guys. I've been texting with Isaiah Thomas's agent, and he says in capital letters, he is not coming off the bench.
Mm.
The idea is that they would want a buyout maybe before they did something like that. We would see. We'll see. We'll see. What do you make of that?
So, Anthony, like, do you think that based on what Magic and Pelinka were saying, does that, like, do you think that completely, because Rachel got that text before Magic and Pelinka came out and talked, and who knows, maybe before they had talked to Isaiah, and so, like, we'll kind of see where this goes, but I don't know, like, I think if he's gonna, I think his motivation to be a problem in the locker room has to be really low if he's using common sense, because you don't want to be seen as a cancer in two separate locker rooms in
the same
one
year.
Season.
Yeah.
As you're going into free agency, and we're talking about a Brinks truck the prior summer.
Right. So I just can't envision it. Now, it is Isaiah Thomas's agent. That's his job, right? To posture and to position and to puff out his chest for his client. That's his job, right?
Yeah.
And so it might just be verbiage that he's throwing out there to appease his client. And just so he, because it's pretty rare. I can't think of very many times in the history of television and sport where a host gets a text from an agent and is allowed to say that this is from the agent.
No, he came out and he, like, said he told another Cleveland area reporter on the record that, you know, like, it's LeBron's ball and this clearly wasn't working. So he's very much happy to go public and let people know that his client was not happy in Cleveland.
Right. But what I'm getting at there is that all of these things are done for a reason, and an agent going out there and being this vocal about it, serves a purpose of obviously talking about how unhappy Isaiah Thomas was in Cleveland and how that might have played a role in how bad he's been. And then the other thing, too, is just to kind of to remind people that no, we aren't going to just back down from every new role that we got, that we get. I want to see it before I really believe that Isaiah Thomas is dumb enough to torch two locker rooms in the same season in a contract year after coming off of hip surgery. I just can't imagine he is that unself-aware that he would tank this and do that to his career, because look, he's fighting history.
I'm just 5'9" point guards.
Five-nine point guards after they turn 30, their careers don't go for very long after that, right? And the reason people think that Isaiah Thomas might be different is because he may have reached different heights than those other guys, than the Muggsy Bogueses and the Earl Boykins, right? He has a better single year than those guys had. And so people think that maybe his career he has further to fall down from, and that decline might last a little bit longer. That's the thinking there if you're Isaiah Thomas's agent and you're trying to get his next contract. But that's still quite the gamble. And you're fighting that history and you're fighting your own personal history, because when he was in Sacramento and when he was in Phoenix, there were some iffy reports about what was going on behind the scenes with him and his teammates and coaches. And then now we saw it pop back up again in Cleveland. That's 3 out of 4 stops that you've had problems in. And you don't want to make it 4 out of 5 with that fourth one coming in the same year as the third. You just can't do that.
So that history is exactly what I was going to bring up. Yeah. And I think that's enough reason for concern. That is, like you said, it is 3 out of 4 stops he has been vocal about not being happy. And that's a trend. And so, like, I'm not willing to just say that because it would be a terrible idea for him to be vocal about his unhappiness here, that he's going to see that the same way.
I mean, the other thing, too, with athletes is that they can lack self-awareness.
Yeah, and they're confident, and that's how mm-hmm. they've made it to where they've made it. And yeah. So, like, I get it. He should be confident. He's over. It's like you said, he's overcome the odds at every single turn. And I think, but the thing here, I think the big takeaway, just to like bring this all full circle, mm-hmm. is even if Isaiah Thomas comes into town and his first press conference, he says, you know, like, I'm gonna start. Screw Lonzo. I'm better. I was an MVP candidate last year. If Luke doesn't start me, there's going to be problems. And the Lakers immediately cut him. Then this was still a win of a trade for the Lakers. Absolutely. Because they got a late first in exchange for two guys that they were not part of their future. And like Channing Frye, by all accounts, great locker room guy. Who knows how much he'll play? But it, like the big takeaway here is the off the court stuff and how competent Magic and Pelinka manage this deadline. Like, I think that's something that both of us have been critical of the way that they've handled some situations, and this is a reason where this is a time when they need to be given props. They showed legitimate chops here, and this on paper looks like a huge win for them at the deadline.
And there is no, so remember you and I talked about the Jordan Clarkson and Isaiah Thomas potential trade, and one of the points that you made was that look, they can't turn around and trade the biggest name that they got for Kyrie Irving, who has played really well in Boston. They can't turn around and trade that guy in the same season, right? And
yeah, that was an oops.
Well, no, I mean, I think there was logic there. I think there was sound logic there. But I do. But the Lakers don't have that attachment. They don't have that inherent.
That's true.
They don't have that inherent, you know, well, we have to save face here kind of aspect to it. They can just say, as soon as Isaiah makes any kind of problem whatsoever, he's gone.
They can cut him immediately.
He's gone. And again, you're talking with all of these conversations, leverage is absolutely critical. Isaiah Thomas has none. He has zero leverage with Luke Walton, because Luke Walton has the backing of the organization. He has zero leverage with Magic Johnson because he's Magic bleeping Johnson. He has zero leverage with Rob Pelinka because Rob Pelinka has the backing of Magic Bleeping Johnson. So if he sits down in a meeting and starts stomping around, right, and kicking over toys, he can't do that. And he would be immediately shown the door. And as soon as he's shown the door, that's probably the end of Isaiah Thomas's career. And it's definitely the end of any possibility that he has that he could have a Brinks truck backed up to his house, right? That's just not going to happen. He, at best, if he gets cut by the Lakers, you're looking at a league minimum contract, especially, and again, this is further lack of leverage for Isaiah Thomas here, in that he would become a free agent after having a terrible season, after hip surgery, after tanking two different locker rooms, after feuding with the biggest star in the biggest market of the NBA, and he would be doing all of that before an offseason that, by all accounts, has almost zero money being spent by the vast majority of the NBA. He can't ruin this for himself, and he can make all the noise he wants, and his agent can posture all he wants. But at the end of the day, neither of those guys have any leverage. The Lakers have all the chips in this equation, and that's before, as you pointed out, they have this first round pick and they have this cap flexibility anyway. They don't need Isaiah Thomas and any kind of headache that he may create. It's a perfect trade for what the Lakers were hoping to do today.
Yep, I think they're somewhat unexpectedly winners at the deadline. We all thought they were going to be quiet, and they ended up taking a big swing. And I think we'll see how it works out. But for right now, this looks like a win.
I want to finish on a positive note, or on a more positive note, a funny note.
I was thinking the same thing, thinking that we could finish on Magic Johnson's reaction to Luol Deng talks.
Oh no! See, it wasn't that.
Okay.
You can throw to that audio if you have that audio.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, so throw to that audio.
Did you guys have any substantive conversations that would have gotten you off of the Deng contract?
We wish, huh? No, that didn't happen. Thanks, though. You want to make a move for us?
That's amazing. But I thought
that was the best. That was one of the best moments in a press conference this year, maybe in the last 5 years.
It was funny because it was really true and it was really natural, and they immediately recognized no, we can't make it look this bad, and they kind of saved themselves. And
it was so genuine.
It was so perfect. But what I found even funnier to me was when Rob Pelinka was talking about situations around the league and different and various rebuilding accomplishments around the league, and he brought up the Boston Celtics, and he said that we can't name any players specifically, and a Magic immediately clapped his clapped
his
hand.
Phenomenal. Magic was on fire today, just in general.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, you could lob out the criticism of where have you been when the chips were kind of down, and then now you have a really good day, and here you come back again. But that's a conversation for another day. I thought today was the perfect exemplification of what Magic brings to the table. He was able to get the deal done, right? So there's a practicality of it, but then there was also the fun element of it. There was the charismatic element of it, where
Showtime is back, baby.
Yeah, after the press conference, there is nobody better, I would say, in the NBA at patting him and the people around him on the back, and that's important. It really is. Guy Mitch would have these moments where he would have a big win, and you would have to dig for the funny moments, and they'd have to be these dry funny moments. And it was really kind of funny that I actually threw my head back and laughed when Magic clapped his hand to his mouth. I thought that fantastic.
The whole Magic thing was amazing. And so, if Magic can be... I hope Magic is a good executive, just because I want him around reacting to things for a long time.
I would completely agree. All right, so we're gonna end this one. The Lakers do play here in a little bit, so we're going to watch that game And then if anything else happens between now and then, we're going to react to the game. And then maybe Harrison and I will have a little bit more time to think about the various angles and what other options that this might give to the Lakers. So we're gonna watch the game, react to the game, react a little bit more to the trade and what the buyout season might look like. But thanks everybody for tuning into this. Thank you everybody thank you to Magic and Pelinka for pulling off this trade. And we'll talk to you guys in a little bit.